Next case.
Case number 12979, Allen and Lori Peer seek variances from the front and side yard setback requirements for proposed structures. Section 11542 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located east of Mariner's Lane within the Pine Crest Terrace subdivision. The 91 address is 30213 Mariner's Lane in Ocean View. The zoning district is GR. The tax parcel is District 134, Map 9, Parcel 126. The applicant is seeking a 4.3-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for a proposed dwelling, an 8.5-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement, an 8-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for a proposed deck, a 2.5-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for the proposed dwelling, 25-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for proposed steps, and a 0.5-foot variance from the 10-foot side yard setback for a proposed overhang. We have zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail return.
Mr. Sharp, I swear you in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Lori Peer, 4039.
Allen, 4039, Hillview Road, Temple, PA.
Do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Slip the button on.
Oh. Is it on?
Yeah, yep. When it's green, it's on.
Okay.
That's all right. Floor is yours.
Okay, so we're just here for a variance for basically the front steps and the little pent roof overhang I want to do on the side of the house. And it has... originally, when they designed these streets, they had a cul-de-sac on every street. No one put the cul-de-sacs in. The streets are private. We own to the center of the street. And the existing dwelling is in the 30-foot setback as it is. And we're just looking to, you know, really just put our staircase, you know, as it's shown.
Any questions?
Yes, sir. I found this to be confusing because of the lot outline and the road description. As you said, it came into it. My first question had to do with your with the driveway, and you made the statement we own to the midpoint of Mariner's, but it appears as though your lot still has a circumference in the middle of it. Is that true?
It's not. No, there's no cul-de-sac in it. And I did send some other pictures to show each street,
yeah,
that no one has a cul-de-sac.
I believe you.
Okay.
My concern is the dimensions of your lot in terms of what do you own and what's on the record. As you can see, there's an arch that goes from there around to there. And so I'm wondering, who owns that? And
this is an existing parking lot.
I saw that on the picture, and that's what made it confusing to me.
Right. So the company that did the site plan, they put that in because from original, that's just what was supposed to be there. But again, they're just not there, and no one has one on all four streets of the pictures. Did you get a pack of pictures? Every street, no one has the cul-de-sac. And there will never be a cul-de-sac.
I understand.
I'm gonna say I own the land.
So
we own the land.
Our understanding is that all of the homeowners there own into the street, half and half.
I'll tell you, that's not how that works.
Okay.
So what your survey shows, that's what we as a board interpret as the boundary of your property. If you were to look at your deed, and I haven't looked at it, but I'm going to presume, because I can tell you there are very few properties that I'm aware of that own to the center line of a road in this county anywhere. What you do is you own the boundary of your property line, and that's what's showing right there. So what we have throughout the county are a fair amount of paper cul-de-sacs, and in some cases, paper streets. We will often have cases come before this board where there's a roadway, and the roadway, the right-of-way might be 50 feet or 30 feet, but the actual road might only be 20 feet wide. People think, well, the road is where my property is. No, your property might be 10 feet, 5 feet, 2 feet, whatever it is from the road. In cases like here, we have paper cul-de-sacs. Basically, they were created on paper when that subdivision was created, and your lot was created whenever that was created many years ago. What happens, though, is in many cases, those cul-de-sacs never got built out completely or at all. And in your case, it looks like it was partially completed, in that there is a road that goes through there, and there appears to be some paved parking areas. But that cul-de-sac, I'd be shocked if that's part of your property. It's not shown on the tax map that way, which means that the site plan, the subdivision plot plan that created the subdivision back whenever it was created, that tax map matches up with that. So that if you bought that lot, that's what you bought. You didn't buy into the cul-de-sac. So I just want to make sure that's clear so that you understand when we're looking at this as a board, what we're looking at is that. That's your property, and that's what we're looking at the variances from that Ms. Norwood outlined earlier. So now I understand that can pose some challenges for folks, and that's what we're here to hear from you about. So
we have historically, and all of the streets are consistent with how they've been used, and it was my parents' property in 1971. We bought that and put a trailer on it. Well, I was, 6 years old, but I inherited the property from them, and we are now planning our retirement and building this house to live in full time. So when we went to look at how we were going to place the property, obviously we got professional advice for that, and we feel that it's ideal in terms of where the rest of the properties are, and we are probably the last old trailer that's on this street. So this is an upgrade, the last lot that's going to get upgraded to a new dwelling. So all of the streets in this development are use the a street line, and that's the same street line as when my parents moved in and put their trailer there in 1971. So the use of the front property as our driveway was consistent that entire time. There's never been a change in that. And so that's what we've, and all of the properties along the line, all on that street, follow that same line.
I don't doubt what you're telling me, either one of you. And to me, there's two questions here. Number one, putting that question out about what do you own and what don't you own.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's been addressed, but that might be further conversation. And then I think the second question is, what do you want to build? And I think that's the nature of your variance in terms of what do you want to do, the steps and the portico over the steps that you described, or on the side.
On the side. That little pent roof.
Okay.
That only hangs like 2.5 feet. And so, the reasoning for the pent roof is there's a door on the side, the neighbors are close,
mm-hmm.
Other neighbors don't like their lighting, so my pent roof has soffit lighting that shoots down and not floods out, and that with dimmers, I'm putting dimmers down on everything, so
I'm
just trying to be kind to the neighbors with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's another picture of like the existing dwelling, and it might be
what's proposed.
Somewhere there's a, the existing dwelling, the trailer that's on now.
There.
Well, that's, there's our neighbor's house that she just put up like a year ago. Here's a pin, which is going to be the front of our house, and we're 8 feet back, the house itself. So, I mean, the staircase is what's in question, and I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But there's like a print of the existing, a site plan of the existing house. Right there. So, I mean, like if that's the setback, the house and the front deck is kind of in it as we speak.
Okay. So what you're in, what you're indicating on this drawing to me is that from the front deck to the arc of the paper cul-de-sac is 17 feet, 17.7. Is that correct?
That's my own little math.
And from the dwelling itself, 27. Your math.
That's from the dwelling to the parking lot, which is about the cul-de-sac.
Okay. I'm eyeballing that, my old eyes, on the arc of that paper cul-de-sac. I'm trying to figure out what it is you want to do and how far it is away from the land that I think you own.
Okay, so I believe, and Alan knows this a little better, so I will defer to him if he corrects me or whatever. So I believe that our proposed dwelling is farther back from the street than what the current dwelling is. But the steps are the issue in terms of coming out close. That goes out farther because we are putting it on stilts, and it just has to be what it is in order to get down.
The rise.
And so that, other than that, nothing. I feel like that everything has been placed appropriately back from the street, except that we have the issue with the steps needing to come out farther because it is an, you know, it's a raised.
So if I look at this
dwelling.
If I look at this diagram at the bottom of the steps that you're proposing in the front, it appears to be 5 feet from the arc of the paper cul-de-sac?
Right.
Is that, am I looking at that correctly?
Yes.
And so the question is, ignoring the arc, the paper arc, the setback from the street is,
and
how far, Alan?
Like 20 feet.
And understanding the circumstances, I hope you can understand that we can't ignore the arc.
Right.
I can't ignore the arc. Can't speak for my colleagues.
The other thing, there could be a precedent on other streets where they've had the exact same situation and they've had to come for a waiver and they've had to work through the issue.
And that's why you're here requesting the variance.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you subject to flooding on this site?
Yeah, we have, and we're above the floodplain with the print and the engineer and the, you know, everything is good with that.
Okay. Do you know if, or do we know if the neighbor on the other side of the cul-de-sac has a variance? Because it looked like they were sort of close also with their steps. Maybe not.
I don't think that
the way it's placed, it probably isn't.
Okay.
And their steps come down the side. You can't really see them coming out. They come down the side.
The other thing, if you follow that around onto her property, there's like a telephone pole there that would be in the cul-de-sac.
I think
you can even see the shadow of the telephone pole.
There's another picture of it too.
I think that's the shadow of the telephone pole. And our electrical line comes across.
Any other questions?
Was there any thought given to in this design to move it back further into the property and maybe squeeze the house a little tighter in so you could still get your deck in and move it further back?
I was hoping to have somewhat of a backyard, because this is a little deeper than the existing trailer. And by the time you get the back deck on, and there's a shed to the left that's going to stay, I was just hoping to have some yard. The way the sun goes, I mean, everything happens in the back. No one does anything in the front. It kind of comes over the back of the house.
And that is consistent with everybody else on that street. People use the backyard for their, you know, most of their outdoor activities.
There's a driveway on either side of the staircase coming down, because there's a garage on either side of the staircase.
Sharp?
I know Chairman asked you about flooding. I see you've got White's Creek. It looks like it would be both on the side and the rear of your property. Is that right?
Yes.
Do you ever have water that comes up over the bulkhead onto your property on either of those portions of the lot?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
It comes up on both sides.
So is that a reason why you would have it, the house pushed towards the northwest corner of the property rather than towards the rear and the side?
The land is tapered, so, you know, it definitely, if it comes over by like a foot, say, it's not touching the house.
All right. But where you've got it, you'd be okay. But if you had to push it back, you might have issues.
I would have more issues for sure.
All right. And I see these steps, and I believe, Ms. Peer, you said it was going to be an elevated home on pilings. And these steps, I guess, are to help you navigate to the first floor of the living of that. Is that correct? Yes. Did you ever look to turn the steps so they're away from the front yard?
I believe they already split. Correct, Alan?
Well, it does split at the end, but a bulk of the steps appear to be projecting outward. I mean, I do see that, you know, what you're saying, that they have kind of a split, and then they like a little riser, and then you kind of go up a center thing. But I didn't know if you had looked at turning it to see if that provided any relief from the front yard setback or if that was deemed unfeasible.
I'm going to say that the aesthetics of the home would be impacted because of the design of the home. And I think there's a picture of the front.
And there's a driveway on either side.
Right.
All right. So that was going to be my next question. So you're going to have garage on the sides of that. So that's where you're going to park your vehicles, I presume, and they'll come in. I did have a question though, because you've mentioned there's this parking lot that's there. Is that a community parking lot?
No. That's our personal driveway.
Okay.
That's our driveway.
Driveway.
All right. So when you say parking lot, you're referring to driveway.
Yes.
I got you. All right. I know there's some communities that have, you know, kind of at the end of a street, they may have a pier or a, you know, boat ramp or something like that, and they may have a parking lot set up. So, but that's not the case here.
We have a mound at the end of the street, and we share with the neighbor.
Okay. Is there any HOA approval that's needed?
No.
No.
Have you had any conversations with your neighbors about what you're doing, what your proposal is, and if so, what's been the response?
There were outreaches by, I believe, two neighbors that wanted to have a conversation when they got their notice. And we had those conversations. Alan sent them the site drawing so that they could see. And so we got, you know, an understanding. They understood what we were doing. They wanted to make sure that we were set back far enough. And they can see that we're set back as far as all the rest of the houses, and specifically talked to the woman across the cul-de-sac, well, the paper cul-de-sac, and she was willing to call in or write a letter. She didn't end up doing that, but she's very, you know, she's very supportive of what we want to do. And the person next to us, and yeah, that one. She had some, you know, she wanted to understand, had some concerns, was questioning the lighting, because she didn't have any questions about the front of the house, but more on the side of her house, and what was this little overhang, and what kind of lighting were we going to have. When she understood that the lighting was going down and not shooting over to her, she understood and she was okay. So I think the person across the lagoon, he also got a notice. He wanted to see the property, how it was going to...
There's a house there now.
Yeah, it's not shown there, but recently had to do the same thing, went through the same process with the waiver, built that house, but he was curious as to what it was going to be, why we needed a variance, and how it was going to impact him. Once he understood, he
was in agreement.
Was fine.
So you haven't had any objections?
We haven't had any. We've had questions, and understood. We got through all those.
Two other questions. The area, and I'll just pull up my thing on the cul-de-sac on this end here, kind of the White's Creek end between White's Creek and the cul-de-sac. Is that like a dead space? Is that something that's kind of hard for you to do anything with because of the shape of the lot?
It is. We have lawn there, and we mow that lawn. And then, as Alan said, we have a mound at the end with a lot of grasses.
The mound probably comes like in here somewhat.
So we have that. We have that landscaped, and we have that maintained, and we share the cost with our across the street neighbor. So we never do anything out there, but that's, I mean, we take care of that.
Then the other question I've got is, and, you know, obviously you've said there's a home there now in a similar location. How do, like, a garbage truck, how do they navigate down that street and turn around? How does an emergency vehicle navigate around the neighborhood? Because one of the things that, you know, we see with developments now is when we create cul-de-sacs, they create them large enough that, you know, a fire truck could swing around or a garbage truck could swing around. Well, how do they get down there now?
People pull in. The garbage truck, he backs down. He pulls down one side, backs down the other. But sometimes trucks pull into our parking lot or driveway.
And our neighbors.
Turn around, and it's...
Well, technically, that's part of the cul-de-sac. Most of that appears to be part of the cul-de-sac, so that's not really an issue if they're doing that. But the other thing I have is, how many vehicles do you believe you'd be able to park on your property, not in the cul-de-sac, but on your property once this house is built?
So we have two garages, single, on each side, so two there. And then in front of the garage... Alan, do you want to go point? I would think we could get two more on each side of the steps.
Here. And
yeah, I mean, just looking at it, I would think you'd probably be able to get at least one, maybe two on each side. I don't know, though. Okay. I just want to make sure you had enough parking.
I think at the max right now, we probably have three cars that could pull in there, but it would be tight.
But with the garage, you can...
And now with this, for where we park now, what we're calling our park, we call the driveway, it's just for parking, okay? So I think easily three can get in there, but not four.
Yeah, most of that appeared to be in the cul-de-sac. Some of it was on
and
the
yes, it's the, on the paper.
But what you're doing now will allow you to park more, because your current house isn't elevated.
Right.
And your new house will be elevated, and you would be able to park
two inside, under it. And then easily two in front.
Okay. Right. So you could get four on the lot with the garage. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Does that complete your presentation?
Yes.
Okay, you guys can take a seat. Is there anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is there anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Any further questions from the board? At this time, we will close the public hearing for case number 12979 for Mr. Allen and Lori Peer. We're looking for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve case number 12979 for Allen and Lori Peer for the requested variances for the front and side yard setbacks for the property they own. I think that the requested variances will not alter from the essential character of the neighborhood, and that the variances represent the minimum necessary to afford relief. And I do believe the property has unique physical conditions due to the flooding, occasional flooding of White's Creek.
Motion. Looking for a second.
Second.
So we have a second. Motion and a second. Mr. Williamson.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Dr. Carson.
Aye for my reasons.
And aye too. So vote of 3-0. Case number 12979 is approved.